In our lesson this morning, I'd like to direct our attention to a passage in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, and verse 1, where Paul says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God." Whenever you see the word "if" in a sentence, he's expressing a conditional question. If then you were raised with Christ. Was I? Were you? Have we been raised with Christ? He's asking that question to force us to ask ourselves whether we've done that or not. And then the secondary point is, if we can actually say, "I have been raised with Christ," then my second question is, am I seeking those things which are above? And so those are the two issues that we want to deal with in our lesson. And we can dispatch with the first one, being raised with Christ, in the first two slides. But the rest of the lesson is going to be focusing on, are we seeking the things that are above, or are we still focused on the things of this earth? And so, when were we raised with Christ? And the answer he gave back in chapter 2, about 6, maybe 12 verses ago. Buried with him in baptism, in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. There's no question that baptism is when we are buried with him and when we are raised with him. But he's trying to change our focus. It isn't just a baptism. It isn't just an immersion in water. It is a resurrection. It is when we were raised with him. And as Paul put it in the Roman letter, we were raised with him to walk in a new life or a newness of life. So we read Romans chapter 6, verse 3, "Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So, the day that I was baptized is the day I was buried with him, and it was the day that I was raised with him. And so Paul's first question has an easy answer. If then you were raised with Christ, the simple answer is, was I baptized? And in my baptism, did I understand that when I was buried with him, the old man was crucified at that point? God did the crucifying. Now I need to spend the rest of my life making that a reality. And the first step is to seek those things that are above where Christ is. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, summing all of this up, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. But have they? Have new things really come? Or when we came up out of the water of baptism, did we just keep on living the way we've always lived? We are not growing. We are not seeking those things that are above. It's a pretty simple matter to answer that question. So we come back to the question, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. How often do we focus our lives? Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16? We don't look at the things that are seen. We look at the unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary. But the things that are not seen, the things that are from above, the things where Christ is, those things are eternal. So we have to change our focus. We did live in this world. We were worldly people. We only focused on the here and the now because that's all we knew. But in baptism, the resurrection of Christ is the showcase. Christ was raised from the dead. He didn't stay here. He's gone on. He went back to sit at the right hand of the throne of God. And now as one of his servants, as one of his redeemed persons, I have an opportunity to seek those things which are above, the unseen things, the things that are eternal, the things that are pleasing to God. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. How are we doing with this? And I'm not just speaking of how have we grown since we became a Christian. I'm speaking of when you get up in the morning, is your first thought? Need to pray? Need to prepare? Need to be forgiven? Need to make plans for how this day can be used to the glory of God? Before we sit down to breakfast, we pray. Give thanks for our food, sanctify it. Our whole day focused on what's above. Or is it midday before we finally get around to thinking about the fact that I'm a Christian and that I really have some responsibilities and obligations? Seek those things which are above. Set your mind on those things which are above. So, as a new creation, everything's new. And I don't know them yet. When I first come up out of the water of baptism, Paul tells us we're babes. We are still carnal, but we are growing. And we are learning to set aside the fleshly things and to bring on the spiritual things. So we need to seek the things above, not just the things on the earth. And then Paul makes the contrast in the next verse. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Now, verse 7 makes it really clear. The things that are above and the things that are beneath. The things that are beneath are the things we've always done since we became a human being. Doors we opened in our youth. As Jeremiah puts it, the sins of my youth. And it's time to put those sins away. So there are old things that we need to look at. For most people in the world, fornication is a simple recreational activity. It is something that they do just like they would play golf or just like they would do other things. But God has said this is a grievous sin. And so we have to decide, will I see fornication the way the people in the world see it? Or will I see it the way God says it actually is, a sin worthy of death? A sin that brings the wrath of God on the sons of disobedience. Fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. And then we have uncleanness and passion, which is basically pornography, but we're not just talking about the raunchy pornography. We're talking about any pornography that causes us to lust. Whether it's just a simple picture of an immodestly clad woman, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with your heart. So uncleanness and passion, we need to put that away. Covetousness. Wanting what other people have. Wanting to be what they are. Covetousness. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's. And then he just gives a litany. His wife, his possessions, anything that is your neighbor's. And then, like Eve in the garden, we just have to ask ourselves, has Satan reframed God's word so that I can't see it clearly? So I mentioned a moment ago, when we open a door in our youth, open a door into pornography. Open a door into greed. We open a door into lying. We open a door into sinful things that God has said are worthy of death. But we have found to be, like Eve did in the garden, a very pleasurable activity. She saw that what God said would bring death is good for food, a delight to the eyes, and desirable to make one wise. Completely reframed. If she had seen it would bring death, those other three things would have never happened. And so when we look at these old things, put to death your members which are on the earth, the only way we can put them to death is to see them the way God says they are and to stop looking at them the way the world sees them. Because as long as we see these things the way the world frames them, we can't put them to death because we're still on the earth. We're not seeking the things that are above. What God has revealed in the Scriptures came down from above. And we need to set our minds there. And Paul then goes on to say that we have an old man and a new man. Now you yourselves are to put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Now that's the question, isn't it? Am I still an old man? Or am I still a new man? Or have I become a new man? As I look at these lusts, these sinful desires, these misuses of emotion, misuses of opportunities for pleasure that God has given to us, and everything God has given has a legal, lawful, and good way to be fulfilled, and those who seek the things that are above are very content to stay within the frame of what God has given. But that's not what we see all around us. The evil companionship of the world leads us to think these things are normal. They're not so bad. Well, if we were in heaven looking at them, we would see how terrible and bad they are, but we're on the earth looking at them, and we have to trust in God. And so the old man, he sets his mind on the things of the earth. So every time I find myself in need of repentance, anytime you find yourself in need of repentance, that means the old man, for a minute, 10 minutes, an hour, a day, a week, however long, you went back to the old man. You went back to the old way. You went back to the things that are old, that needed to be put away. So the old man sets his mind on the things that are on the earth. So break out your day. What do you do when you get up in the morning? What are your first thoughts? And then as the day continues on, what are we focused on? Can we say that from the moment we wake up until the moment we go to bed at night, our minds are set on things above? Now, that doesn't mean that we can't live in this world. We're smart enough and good enough to do two things at once. We can live in this world and work with other people while our minds are focused on the things that are above, while our minds are focused on our responsibilities and obligations. That's the only way we can rise above the world. And that's the only way that we can honestly say, I've been raised with Christ, and I am seeking those things that are above, and I am setting my mind on those things that are above. So Paul continues by saying, I'm sorry, we want to read what John says now to kind of tie together. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That is an axiom. It's a truism. It's like light and dark. If it's light, it can't be dark. If it's dark, it can't be light. If you love the world, then you can't love God. If you love God, you can't love the world. And so there's a constant battle here. And so he goes on to say this: all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, I think there's a germ in here that we need to really focus on if we want to set our minds on the things that are above, and that is the will of God. Everything, every decision I make is my will. But it needs to be subjugated to God's will. And so if I'm setting my things on the things that are above, that means that every time I look at something, a scripture comes into my mind. I can't do this because, or I should do this because I'm focused on the things that are above. Brethren, this book is from above. This book and everything in this book is from above. When I set my mind and you set your mind on the things in the scriptures, we're setting our minds on the things that are above. When we do not take the time to search the scriptures, how can we be transformed? Remember what Paul said? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means that when I'm watching a television program, my mind goes to the scriptures, and my mind says, is this something that I should put before my eyes? You remember what the psalmist said? I will put no unclean thing before my eyes. And so, when we're watching television, when we're eating our food, when we're talking with our friends and neighbors, there's God's way to do things, and there's our old way of doing things. And we have to make a decision. I've been raised with Christ. I'm now walking in newness of life. Old things have passed away. Everything's become new. I'm seeking the things that are above where Christ is. Or I'm not. The opportunity is there. The fulfillment takes a lot of work. Takes a lot of work. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So now, these are the things that are above. These are the emotions that are from above. Many of them are foreign to us. It is not natural for people to have tender mercy. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. What you do to me should be done back to you, and the quicker the better, is the philosophy of many people in the world today. Tender mercy would solve so many. We read about murders every day, people shooting other people, people shooting police officers because there's no mercy. There is no understanding of other people's needs and a desire to be helpful to them. Same thing with kindness and humility, meekness and long-suffering. They do not exist in the ungodly world, but they do exist for those who are seeking those things that are above. Then in verse 13, he talks about turning the other cheek. He talks about forgiveness. He talks about putting on love. These are the new things. They are not natural. And for some of us, it's a struggle. It has to be put on every day. Every day you get up in the morning, you know, I have a problem with anger. I have a problem with this. I have a problem with that. I need to set my mind on things above. I need to change those thoughts. You know, brethren, that's how we quickly repent of a sin. You know, you can read all these things and you can say, I'm never going to do these other things anymore and I'm always going to do these things. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. There's still a battle. It's still a struggle. We're still carrying our cross. We're still cutting off and plucking out and we're still working hard. But those people whose mind is above, when they violate these things, within a minute or even seconds, they're already saying, Father, I can't believe it. Because their mind is above. They're looking at things the way God sees them. That doesn't mean the flesh. Paul talks about the flesh in Romans chapter 7. And he tells us in Romans chapter 7 that the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit lusts against the flesh. Actually, I'm quoting Galatians here. But his point in Romans is the things I want to do, I can't always do. And the things I hate, sometimes I practice. So, we're either not doing them at all, we're doing them in the wrong way, or we're not doing them enough. Which one? Which one would you say as you look at these things and as you consider your growth as a Christian from the time you came up out of the water of baptism and were raised with Christ in newness of life to the present moment? Are you more merciful now? Or have you even tried to become merciful? Are we even trying to put ourselves in other people's shoes and try to understand why they do the things that they do and try to be kind and patient and loving and understanding with them and having this humility to realize that I'm no better than anyone else. We're all struggling to get to heaven. And so these are things, either we're not doing them at all, we're doing them in the wrong way, or we're not doing them enough. Now, I'd like to be able to say that some of us, there's another line there, I didn't put anything in it, but I'd like to have there, I'm doing it perfectly, but that's not an option. We don't have that because we're human. And Paul said this, not that I've already attained, I'm already perfected. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and stretching forward to what lies ahead, seeking the things that are above, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. No matter how much of these things we have, we should still be seeking more. In James, he puts it a little differently. He says, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. If we're not setting our minds on things that are above, mark it down, sensual, earthly, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. This is why Paul told the Corinthians, you can't take the Lord's Supper because you are divided. There are divisions among you. There are factions in your midst. You are not united. You're doing the very things that are described here. Verse 17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. Is that you? That's talking about me. Is that how you feel when you read this? That's exactly like what I am. I'm pure and peaceable and gentle and willing to yield and full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's the wisdom that comes from above. And those of us who are seeking those things that are above, this is the fruits. These are the fruits that we will see. It's pure, peaceable. So, the things of this world, the old man, the old things, the wisdom from the earth, earthy, sensual, demonic. The things that are above are the new man and the new things, the wisdom that is coming down from above. And so it's pretty simple for me as a Christian, regardless of where I am in my Christian walk, to look at these things and remember what I was, and see where I am, and ask myself this all-important question, am I walking with the wisdom that is from above? Or am I walking with a wisdom that does not descend from above, but is earthly? Earthly and world are pretty close to the same as far as synonyms are concerned. Love not the world, neither the things of the world, for all that is in the world. It's earthly, sensual, demonic. In the home, in the church, where we work, in our country, if there is envy and self-seeking, selfish people who only want to take what other people have and force other people to live the way they want them to live, sound like our nation, sound like our workplace, hopefully it doesn't sound like our congregation. The wisdom that is from above is pure, undefiled, holy, sanctified. A recognition, I'm a saint. Now, that doesn't mean what the world means. It means what God made me, what God made you. We are, hopefully, be holy as I am holy. As God is holy, we should be holy. We can't do that unless we set our minds on the things that are above. How can I tell whether what I'm doing is profane or holy, defiled or undefiled, sanctified or profane, unless I'm looking at the scriptures before I do it, quoting the scripture, or if I don't know yet, getting out my concordance and trying to figure it out, or calling someone and saying, look, I'm struggling with this. Can you give me some scriptures? Got to have scripture. Jesus always had scripture. When Satan told him to do one thing, he quoted a scripture. When Satan asked him to do another thing, he quoted a scripture. His mind was above. Satan tried to drag him to this earth. He wouldn't go there. And that's why he died a sinless Son of God. Because he always looked at the things that are above before he made a decision. Before he answered. Before he chose and did. It's pure. It's also peaceable. As much as is within you, be at peace with all men. You remember what Jesus said? If you are offering a gift at the altar and you remember, you don't have peace. Somebody has something against you. You've done something that needs to be taken care of. Or perhaps they've done something and you haven't forgiven them. Either way, if your brother sins against you, go show him his fault. If you remember that your brother has something against you, go and be reconciled. Peaceable. We don't want issues. Gentle. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Is that our reputation? Would you say that when people look at you, they say, there goes a gentle man or a gentle woman? Humble, submissive, loving, kind, compassionate. That's a struggle. But if we're setting our minds on the things that are above, we know that's where we need to go. And we feel guilty and sinful when we don't get there. That's the point. The point of spiritual growth is recognizing when we need to repent. And at that moment when we need to repent, those of us who are seeking the things that are above, it's done right now. Because that's the first thing we have to do. The first order of business after we sin is to repent and confess it. Willing to yield. Now I put turn the other cheek and go the second mile, but what about God? Are we willing to yield to God? Are we willing to submit our humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so he can exalt us in due time? It's a mindset. The scriptures are our glasses through which we are viewing the world. Satan tried to get Eve to view the world from his glasses, his perspective. God is a problem. God holds people back. God keeps people from doing things that they ought to be able to do. That's his philosophy. That's how he lives. And that's how he gets other people to live. But it's not true, because God is love, and God only gives us good and perfect gifts. And at the very moment that I'm looking at something God says is evil, and I'm looking at it from a different way, just mark it down. That's from the earth. That's from the devil. That's not from above. Willing to yield. Yield to God. Yield to our brethren. Full of mercy. Good fruits. Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. John 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Herein my Father is glorified if you bear much fruit. So bearing fruit. Without partiality, because God is no respecter of persons. And we are sincere, genuine. Now, if this is the first time we're hearing these things, life becomes very tough. This is a big burden. Oh, look what you're putting on my shoulders. But if you heard this many times, you're just telling yourself, yep, time to pick myself up. I can see some areas where I need to seek things above more fully. So, in Ephesians 4, he says this, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, because they can't see what's above. They can't understand the will of God. Being hardened or alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance or because of the hardness and blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. I would say that that's a pretty good description of the world we're living in right now. People in this world have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. And that's why James said, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, Do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. Earthly, sensual, demonic. The reason I'm emphasizing this, brethren, is because we have to start characterizing these things that go through our minds. The things that go through our minds that are earthly, sensual, devilish, the old man, given over to lewdness and hardness of heart and ignorance and not wanting to know. And then there's other things that are from above because they're in here. They're the will of God. Jesus said, not everyone who calls me Lord, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. The will of our Father in heaven is coming down from above, and my mind needs to be right there. Now, this is our last slide. I just want to focus on this. How do we measure up? When I say set your mind on things above, or set your mind on the things on this earth, how do you measure up? Here's a scale. Things above, things on the earth. Which is heavier? Which is more focused on what you are right now? Every decision you make is run through the scriptures first. Every decision, every activity, every habit, every hobby, our job, the friends we pick, are they from above or are they from the earth? Seek things above. Now, setting the mind and seeking, there's probably a fine line between it. One is already hell, the other is I want more. One is I'm going to set my mind on the things I already know. The second is I'm reading my Bible every day to find new things so I can seek them. Because I don't want to be. I want to put off the old man. I want to put on the new man. Feel like Paul, oh wretched man that I am. Any time that something from this world reaches up and drags us back down, we should feel like Paul, oh wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? This isn't normal. This isn't okay. This isn't God's will. And I know it because my mind's set on things that are above. I want the old man gone. Because we want to walk in newness of life with the old things passed away. The wisdom that from above. Set your mind on the things that are above, where Christ is. Seek those things that are above. New things, have they really come? Are we loving the things of this world or the things that are above? You know, some people can't even answer that question because they don't know enough scripture to really be able to answer it. That's a sad thing. That's why you've got good preachers and teachers and Christians and friends who are willing to point them out to us. And instead of getting mad or getting frustrated or getting irritated, we should be thankful. You know, it's one thing to conquer battles. It's another to look for more. I'm pretty happy where I am right now. Don't give me more information. I'll have to start all over again. Well, that's the attitude of some, but not the attitude of those who are setting their minds on things that are above. So, as we conclude our lesson, I just want everybody to give careful consideration to this. Because these are not options. These are, if you've been raised with Christ, command. Set your mind on things that are above. If you have been raised with Christ, old things have passed away, everything's become new, we need to walk in newness of life. If not, can we really say we've been raised with Christ? I guess we could say we were raised with Christ, but I don't know if we can still say I am raised with Christ. Because those who are raised with Christ are setting their minds on things above, seeking the things that are above. Using the wisdom, which is from above. And so as we now take a time to open up our songbook, and we look at the song of encouragement this morning, which is number 332, I Surrender All. Pretty apropos, isn't it? Considering the lesson we just had. Things that are above, things that are beneath. Have we surrendered all? We surrendered all of the worldly things in order to put our minds above, to give our bodies a living sacrifice, to be bought with a price and to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are both God's. As we sing the song, I Surrender All, have we? Can we really sing this song in spirit and truth? Can we make melody with it? Can we sing this song without being embarrassed? Without having to look to God and say, Father, I'm being a hypocrite right now. Or we can say, Father, I haven't surrendered all, but I will. Or maybe you need to come forward this morning and truly surrender all. Whatever your decision, and brethren, on the judgment day, God will be looking at this moment, and He'll be looking and He'll be able to say to you, you know, you heard these things. Why didn't you act on them? I wanted you to be with me in heaven. But I can't, because you didn't do what I asked you to do. Brethren, we sing a song of encouragement. If we can be of any help to you in any way, we invite you to come while we together stand and sing.